Well, this is it's that close, guys. Just 2 or 3 days away for before he, you know, before you put the tree away or something. You know, it's like it's so often the way when we think of. When we think of Christmas, I mean, I like to make a big deal. I mean, and so everybody should, you know, make a big deal because, you know, people make a big deal about everything else. Why not make a big deal about Jesus? Amen? Coming into the world. So let's celebrate. We shouldn't be hesitant to celebrate the coming of our Savior into the world. Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, we need to recognize that the coming of Jesus was to make a difference. The coming of Jesus. So it's not just a one-time event that we look at historically, which I love to do. And I think those scenes of Bethlehem and the pictures in our mind, maybe the movies that we watch in that regard, the little presentation we did today, remind us. They're great. And I love the fact that it goes, we go back and reflect. I mean, I love communion. I love remembrance. Because they're reminders. They're good things to keep our mind fixed on, yeah, the event, the coming of Jesus. But the event was for a reason. The event was for a purpose. And I like these words, and I'm just going to share them with you. And we're going to go into only a little bit of time that I want to teach and preach. But I really believe what the Lord wants to do today is He wants it to be even more practical, more real. So Joseph got this message. We talked about Mary's message from the angels. So Joseph got this message in Mark chapter 1. And I want to just take a moment to look at it. You know, it's a familiar verse, but I just want to take a moment to just refer back to this verse before we share for a few minutes. And then we're going to make a practical application of the truth. You know what that means? We're going to do ministry. We're going to let the Lord do what He does best. Because it's not just about an event. It's about the reason for the event. Amen? So what I want to do is I want you to look at this passage in Matthew chapter 1. And it's the birth of Jesus announced to Joseph. Verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Right? Matthew 1, are you there? Did I say Mark? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, there you go. Thank you for reminding me. While you're getting to that passage, I do want you to remember that we did say that if you want to do an offering today and you're prepared to do that, that we want you to do that. So as a matter of fact, what I want to do, I'm going to do something. I know we're strange here, so just accept the strangeness. Okay, if you're prepared to do something for Irvin Colby today, otherwise you want to do it through email, feel free to. But if you are, just pass this around. And don't mind me. I'm going to read the scripture. It's all good. But just don't think, oh, well, this is sacrilegious or anything. All right, guys? So here it is. I want you to hear the message. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, listen, before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. He did not want exposure to public disgrace. And he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared. Surprise! And said to him in a dream, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. You are to give him the name Yeshua. You are to give him the name Joshua. The name is Yeshua. In English, we say Jesus. But in the Hebrew, it's what we would say Yeshua. And why is it Yeshua? The meaning of the name, he's the Savior. The word is he's a deliverer. He is a Savior. He is the rescuer. He's the one who takes us out of bondage into freedom. Come on, I want you to think of this. His name is called Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. You know, the greatest blessing of all, when you think about life, in terms of, you know, oftentimes we don't even know that we're caught in a place of, we're stuck in a place of bondage. Partly because we don't give much attention to that. A lot of times we don't even pay attention to the fact that we're in a state of bondage. The Bible says the whole world lies in a state of sin. And sin is what separates people from God. Sin is what is an act of disobedience towards God, but it's also a place where we live for ourselves. It's a selfish thing. It's like God has come to bring the Savior, Jesus, into the world. Sin is what brings it's like the curse that has come upon humanity. You know, we think of sickness, not pleasant. I hear stories. It seems like, you know, well, how many of you have had, well, or maybe even feeling sick today? Sickness is not from God. It's as a result of the fall of humanity. How about death? Death wasn't the plan of God. When God breathed life into man, his intent was that they would have communion with him and live forever. Sin is what brought death into the world. So we're in this state of bondage. We're in this state of needing to be forgiven, where sin has no more power or effect over our life. I don't know about you, but that, to me, is one of the greatest joys that I have in life, and I hope you have that sense that you know that Jesus has forgiven your sins. Whether a person acknowledges God or not in their life, there's something about when we do wrong. I think there is a guilt. And oftentimes, you know, many people are walking around with their head down. Why? Because they're shame-filled. You know, psychiatrists, psychologists tell us many people that are dealing with life issues and dealing with big issues of, you know, like are stressed and everything else and having difficulty in relationships with people. It's shame-based. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah, there's still a bit of that shame. There's still a feeling of guilt. There's still a feeling of, you know what? What if I don't measure up? When Jesus came, he came to deal with the guilt of sin. When he comes to forgive your sins, Jesus as our Savior, born in this world, giving his life as a ransom price for our sin. was that he would deliver us from shame. Now that's a big deal. It's a big deal to know that God, when he forgives my sin, and in Psalm 103, he says, I will not remember your sin anymore. Can you imagine that? You know why we have a hard time imagining that? Because we're good at remembering. Somebody wrongs you, I'll tell you something, you don't forget. But you see, God is different.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is the embodiment of love. God is love. Are you with me? When God demonstrates his love for us, he says, while you were still sinners, while you were still at enmity with God, while you were still filled with shame and guilt and condemnation, just think about it, guys. God says, while you were still in that state of shame, guilt, and condemnation, Christ died for you. How many of you felt like you deserved that, you know, I don't ever feel like I deserve to be forgiven. Maybe you feel that way, but forgiven by God. We don't feel worthy of that kind of mercy, kindness, and forgiveness. But that's the primary reason Jesus came, was to save us from sin. So sin keeps us separated from God. It keeps us in that state of hiddenness. That's what it did to our first parents. As soon as they disobeyed God, what did they do? Do you remember in the story in the garden? They did what? They hid. Why? Because they were full of shame and guilt. Primarily, and they said, oh, we're naked. How many of you know that? Let me tell you something. It wasn't the nakedness of their body that was revealed to them. It was the nakedness of their soul and the condition in which they found themselves before God. All of a sudden, it's like when light shines, everything shows up. Oh, my dear. It's like the revelation that Isaiah got when he got into the Holy of Holies. In that revelation, in Isaiah chapter 6, he got into that place where he said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, there was a revelation of light of God. And when that happened, he says, all that, you know, description, that throne description, but then it turns to him and he says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. God is holy. He's above all. God is pure. God is light. God, like, I don't even, how do you compare purity, light, holy, to that which has been defiled by sin? No matter how good you think you might be, you never measure up to anywhere close to God. Isn't that true? So God does something. When he sees the state of man, he sees your state, he sees the state of humanity, he says, you know what? You cannot do anything to measure up to me. So I'm going to send you the Savior, Yeshua, who will save you, rescue you, deliver you out of a state of bondage. Man, we got to get a hold of this. To be saved, it's a powerful thing, guys. It's just like, how can it be that God himself would come? because there was no one else who could do it. So God himself comes in the person of Yeshua, Jesus, to rescue us so we can stand before God not condemned. We can stand before God free of guilt. We can stand before God with our heads held up. Amen. Only because he says, I am the lifter of your head.
Amen.
That's what it says in the Bible. I am the lifter of your head. You know what that means? I'm taking you out of shame and guilt. See, head bowed low is like, oh my dear, do you get that picture? It's the picture. I'm the lifter of your head. You can stand before me. That's why it says in Romans 8, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Man, that's such an amazing truth. Today, that if there's any revelation that we need to have in this regard, a revelation deep in our spirit, in our soul, is that your sins can be forgiven. That's what's amazing about grace. None of us have earned it. None of us deserve it. But God, in his love and mercy, back to Romans chapter 5, the verse I quoted earlier, further it says, while we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Read those verses, Romans 5, I'm reading 6, 7, and 8. I'm kind of quoting it around those verses. While we were without any ability of our own, there's nothing in us that we bring. We come and we see Jesus. So today when we think back of that event in history, Jesus coming and Joseph getting that announcement, this person who is going to be born of the virgin, his name will be Yeshua, Jesus, Savior, because he's going to save his people from their sin. I want to go a little further about, I said I'm going to talk about surprise. Surprise! I want you to think of this for a minute. God has a way. Because see, he came to be the Savior, but as he came to be the Savior, he came to seek and to save the lost. I want you to think of this. He's not only the Savior, but he's also the seeker of the lost. You know what that means? The whole world is in a state of darkness, and it's true, he came to his own. His own did not receive him, right? But it says, but as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become sons and daughters of God. That's John 1, verse 12. So Jesus has come, but he's not only come to be the Savior, he's come to be the seeker of the lost. Now, I want you to picture this for a minute. How many are glad that he sought you?
Amen.
How many are glad he found you? Now, here's the thing with God. You know, God does not force himself on anybody.
Amen.
I'll tell you one thing, though. He'll come knocking on the door. And it's your responsibility whether you respond to him. He is a seeker. He is the good shepherd that's going out. It says in one of the stories, he's like the good shepherd. He goes out and looks for the lost sheep. Right? Man, I'm so grateful that he found me in the state that I was in. And I'm glad that my heart was responsive to that call because he comes to many and they don't respond. Maybe he's come to you a few times and knock on the door of your heart. You got to make a decision whether you let him in. He doesn't force himself in. There's just like Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone open the door, I will come in. I am convinced that God's in the business of surprising many people. Last night we were here worshiping God in our prayer time, and the Lord gave me a cool picture. Sometimes I get annoyed with things that are going on in our culture. Anybody else get annoyed with things that are going on in your culture? How many like the fact that they've taken all, you know, they've taken away the idea of saying Merry Christmas and saying Happy Holidays? Anybody get annoyed with that? Come on. Okay. If you're like me, you get annoyed. I'm saying, come on, give us a break. This is one time that God's people, the people, the followers of Jesus, why can't we say Merry Christmas? As a matter of fact, I know we do. Yes, amen. I know that, you know, there have been all kinds of feedback on social media, and there was a guy from the Sikh religion, you know, the guys that wear turbans, he put something on the post, and he said, you know what? We celebrate our holidays. Nobody tells us to shut up, and they're telling the Christians to be quiet. Like, this is a guy who's not even a follower of Jesus saying that. Come on, what's up with that? Right? Okay. Last night, we're worshiping the Lord here. And the Lord downloaded something in my spirit. And it was really cool. He said, no, it doesn't matter. Because I surprise people. I'm a God of surprises. Just because the signs aren't telling it, guess what? If they don't have to tell it, I'll tell it. Amen. Because I did that in the day. On the event, I told everybody. Nothing around that time would indicate that the coming was nigh. Are you with me? Come on! Nothing about that time would have been that, hey, that this is the prepared time. But guess what? God did it. Hey, are you getting it? God can do it. In the midst of our secularism, in the midst of our humanism, in the midst of all that's going on that would spell darkness and take away the light as we would know it, the message of Jesus. Are you with me? And I can get frustrated just like the rest. But God says, guess what? I'm bigger than all of that. Don't you worry about it. So last night, I'm heading home from here to Stratford, And if you know the road, go across the bridge at night. If you go across the bridge on the left-hand side, there's a City of Charlottetown sign. Anybody seen that? Big sign on the left side, across Tim Hortons. All right. And they got it lit up. It doesn't say anything about Christmas, right? That sign, if you go by and pay attention. I don't pay that much attention. Last night I'm going by, I could see two angels like this. Of the sign, I had to take a second look. I'm not kidding, I thought there's two angels like this, yeah, bowing. And all of a sudden I had to take a second look, and I looked, it was Frosty the Snowman on the one side, and maybe Santa on the other. I think the Lord was just having fun with me. We're enjoying each other. You know what I'm telling you? We're like, okay, if this is what you believe, I'm going to show you this can really happen. Guys, expect surprises. Expect surprises. Expect God to speak through donkeys.
Amen.
Expect God to be God. Amen. Expect people to have dreams and visions. Expect things to happen. Supernatural. Everything about the birth of Jesus was supernatural. Wasn't expected. God just showed up. I'm expecting Jesus to just show up in a lot of places, in your gatherings. You wouldn't know. All of a sudden, boom, he shows up. Let me tell you something. You don't even have to say anything. He'll just show up. When you're in a relationship with God that's real, he's going to show up. Expect him to show up. I was thinking one of the greatest testimonies recorded in the New Testament is the testimony of Saul, who became Paul. Are you following? You know what the scripture? Here's a guy. Surprise! Here's a guy who's going to catch Christians and put them in prison so they could be persecuted and some even killed because he doesn't like the message of Jesus. Right? And all of a sudden, God meets him on the road to Damascus where he's going to, where he knows there's Christians hiding and he's going to capture them. And God says, "Surprise! I want you to get something from that, guys. Just because you have loved ones and people that you love and care haven't yet responded, God's in the business of miracles. God's in the business of surprises. God is still Yeshua, Savior, and he's still seeking to save the lost. It may not be the way I expect it. As a matter of fact, you know how I know the early church didn't expect it. Because when he first got saved, they said, "Oh my dear, this guy's killed Christians. Get him out of here. We got no." As a matter of fact, God said to Ananias that this man Saul, who had been persecuting the church, was going to come and see him. And God said to him, in this vision or dream, whatever, God spoke to him, said, "But you're going to take him in and you're going to pray for him because he's coming in blind because I struck him blind and you're going to heal him." Ananias like, I want nothing to do with this man. This man's been killing Christians. Come on, you got to be kidding. God says, "Surprise." Because it's nothing like you expect. Guys, this is miraculous. This is a supernatural thing. I'm expecting God to go beyond my imagination and my thinking this Christmas. I'm expecting God to do more than I can ask or imagine for my family, for my loved ones, for situations I find myself in. Come on, I'm excited because unto us is born Jesus, Yeshua, who's out to seek and to save the lost. Not in the way I would expect it, but in the way he chooses, which is much better. That's a simple message today. I pray you embrace Jesus. He came knocking on your door. Maybe he's knocking on your door today. I pray that you will just say, "Yeah, that's my Jesus." You know, we've lost the wonder. We lost the awe factor. We lost that place where this is not just an ordinary event. This is a supernatural event that changed history, and it changed my life. Amen. And the life of countless of those who follow Jesus. Come on, I want this to grow in my life. I want a revelation of Jesus as Yeshua to operate out of my life. Jesus, the Savior. Come on. Who wants to see Jesus, the Savior, manifest through you? Come on. Who wants to see the kingdom of God increase? And many, they may not even know that they're seeking, but he's seeking them. And maybe you'll be the instrument used by God. Amen. To bring them into a revelation of the Savior of the world. So we're going to stop our meeting. Stop the preaching, I should say. And I'm going to pray right now that Jesus would become more to you today. Maybe you've already claimed him and know him as Savior. But you know what? You may be walking around with shame and guilt and condemnation. Listen, if you're walking around with shame, guilt, and condemnation, then you don't know the Savior. Ooh, that's pretty nasty. Because you don't know the power of the Savior to forgive sin. Do you follow me what I'm saying? You might know him, but you don't know that truth. I pray this morning that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. That you will know the truth. There's no condemnation. You don't need to go around with shame and guilt and condemnation. I can be forgiven and cleansed because the precious blood of Jesus was shed for me. I don't need to walk in that anymore. That shroud is off of me. He's taken that shroud of shame and guilt off of me. And you know what he's put on me? He's put on me his coat of righteousness. His coat of holiness. Christ has become for me holiness, righteousness. So when I look at myself now, listen, you got to hear this. I don't look at myself in that place of shame. I look at myself wearing the coat of Jesus. And when God looks at me today, he doesn't see my shame. What does he see? He doesn't see my guilt. What does he see? The robe of righteousness. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. I pray God this morning that there will be those who walk in that place of humility. It's a place of humility. It's a place of gratitude. It's a place of saying, God, I cannot believe that my sins are forgiven. I'm washed. I'm cleansed. And I'm redeemed. I'm bought with the blood of Jesus and I'm set free. God, I thank you for that. And God gives us that revelation that we might become ministers of reconciliation, that we might become servants of God that are giving that message. I love that picture. It's the first time I saw it, back to the, off the prayer for a minute, back to this manger scene. I've never seen a manger scene with stars before. Anybody ever seen that? First time I saw a manger scene with stars. You know what I thought? And it reminded me, you're going to say, that's kind of weird. Let me tell you something. God calls us, in this passage, we're to shine as bright stars. How many of that's a biblical statement? We're to shine as the stars are bright. That's what that picture was. And what I'm sensing the Lord is saying is, we have received Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are now to be stars shining for him. Because there are many yet that need to see Jesus. Right? Just like the star led them to Jesus, let us be the people. Amen? Let us be the people. Let us be the light that lead them to Jesus. So my prayer this morning for us is that we would, as we receive Jesus in our life, we give thanks to him. But let it be that we would be stars shining brilliantly and brightly for him, leading many to Jesus. One day, everyone will appear before God. I'm telling you something. Whether you believe it or not, that doesn't change the fact. Today is a good day to know that your sins are forgiven.